All right, so I am online with Brother Akuo. How are we doing today, Brother Akuo?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. It was a beautiful day. We thought we would get on and talk about our last two preaches we did together. We're finally back together, and we did two preaches together this weekend. And then I thought we'd also maybe talk about just some things going on, some street witnessing we've been doing. So let's talk about... And both of us, we have posts on all of these. Both of us have posts on these. So we did, I think it's called Alta Rocks, Copeland Park in La Crosse. It was a rock concert. So why don't we talk about that, brother? People can go and look up our posts on our street preaching pages at sheepthatfollow.com or don'tperish.com. Go look up the preaches. But what was your thoughts about that preach, brother? Let's kind of just go over it and... kind of talk about it.
Yeah, so I don't think I've preached at a concert yet. I think this was my first, like,
yeah, I think it was concert. Yeah.
So I have a goer of concert in my concert. Yeah, so I think this was my first concert, and I believe it was, and kind of a quite a theme to kick it off. They were very worldly bands. I mean, Seether was one of the bands, and they're very, very dark. And then Skillet, professing Christian band, was there. They're very dark as well. I listened to about a 10-second portion of their new song called Psycho in My Head. And
wait, whose song is that?
That's Skillet's.
Skillet's song. Psycho in My Head.
Yep. It's pretty wicked. And then they had a few other groups there, but yeah, I mean, the preach went really well. I was surprised how many people showed up. I thought there were going to be more college people. I didn't see a ton of college people there. I think it's because Seether and Skillet are kind of older bands. They've been around for quite a while.
Yeah, it was. You're right. I think the crowd was probably generally in the 30s and 40 age, some in the 50s, some older people, some teenagers or younger people, but it was mostly more middle-aged people, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And got to witness to a few younger men, and even a few younger women came up and talked to Sister Amen. And so there were a few people there that were... genuinely interested why we were there, because Skillet's a professing Christian band, and I think we heard that about 20-30 times maybe from the people in the line. Skillet's a Christian band, why are you here? That kind of a thing. So it was good all around, and a lot of people got the truth. I mean, that line extended all the way around the park.
Yeah, it did. It was a lot more people. Sister Amen looked up the numbers, and I think they said there was 10,000 people there. And we were talking about it, so let's talk about the three P's of street preaching. We need people, we need public access legally to be there, and we need parking somewhere to park our vehicles to get to it. We had perfect parking right across the street, literally. Our van was right there, our vans were right there. We had public access, perfect. The street was wide open for us. And the people all had to come through one front gate. So literally, of the 10,000 people, every one of them had to walk right by us, brother.
That was really cool. I mean, our vans are parked right in front of the entrance. And, yeah, they had to walk right past us. There was no other entrance. It was public access. And the people just filed past us. Literally every single person that went into that place had an opportunity to see the gospel signs, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we had them plastered all over our van because it was right in front of the main gate. And when I think of this, I think of what we do, I think of Romans 10. Let me go read it. And people say, well, why are you here? Why do you do this stuff? And I think of what Paul said in Romans 10. I think it's verse 14. Let me verify. Yeah. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why we go to preach, right, brother?
Yeah, we go to preach. I mean, I talk about it a lot. Not many professing Christians are willing to stand out, boldly go to a pretty demonic rock concert with a lot of alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
And boldly stand for the truth and call people out of the truth. And the reason we do it, and I want to make this point too, is because we were lost people once in our life. We're no better than anyone. We're just changed by the Holy Spirit. We know the power of God, that anyone who has ears to hear can be changed just like us. So we're not better than these people, and we want them to experience eternal life in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, being born again, walking in the light, the peace and joy that comes with it. Because who knows what kind of things these people are going through that listen to the music like this, that are just in the ways of the world like we used to be. So
yeah,
it's all about it's all about our neighbors, I guess.
Yeah, amen. And that's a great point. And we talked about it before we went out, kind of two approaches. One approach is to just go and preach and lift Christ crucified and entreat people that don't claim to be Christians, that they can be cleansed, they can be made new, they must come through Christ. And then, of course, we always have to deal with, and there was more here than I thought there would be, we always have to deal with the people that say they're Christians. We're Christians. Why are you here? We love Jesus. We obey Jesus, as they're sitting there with their Slipknot shirts, which is a wicked band, and they're drinking and they're smoking and they're cussing and they're covered in tattoos and ear piercings and acting rowdy. We're Christians. We love Jesus. And then, yeah, we heard a bunch of times, Skillet's here. They're a Christian band. And I would tell people, look at my testing of Skillet. I wanted to bring this up. So Skillet, John Cooper, who you and I walked by the tour buses, and we were kind of calling for John Cooper to come out. I call out every concert he's at for him to bring his Bible out. He hasn't come, hasn't contacted me yet. I've emailed him my testing. He knows about it. Skillet, years ago, I think it was 2009. I just want to explain. So-called Christian band. I heard his testimony. Do you know when he accepted Jesus, brother? First of all, we don't accept Jesus. That's an absolute lie. We repent and we're born again by faith. But do you know when he says he accepted Jesus, brother?
I'm going to guess when he was probably around age 8.
Whoa, wow. You're way off, brother. Wow. Come on, an 8-year-old. I mean, what's that? He's way, that's really old. No, John Cooper was 5. Brother, do you even remember what you were doing when you were 5?
No, I don't.
We were just out of diapers a couple years. And okay, 5 years old, he accepted Jesus. And he went on to say that he grew up a good Christian, never rebelled against God. And I just want to talk about this a minute. I heard him say he went to a youth rally. He was a youth pastor, and he was in this band. And it was pure Christian lyrics at one time. Skillet was pure Christian lyrics. He went to a youth conference, and he saw how some band called Linkin Park or something, some youth pastor took the words of a Linkin Park song that was worldly and secular and carnal and just added a little bit of like faith, little tiny bit in it. And he saw how all the youth were fawning over the song. And he said, we're missing a whole genre of youth by having too much Christianese in our lyrics. We need to have a lot more secular stuff in our lyrics to reach more people. Literally, that's what he said. So they turned from being a pure Christian band, which isn't even biblical, to being a secular band with some Christian lyrics, and now they reach millions in the secular world, but they still call themselves a Christian band. How wicked.
Yeah, I'm going to need a book, chapter, and verse for that one. That's so far outside of Scripture, just the Christian band, and then not only that, the pragmatism that comes with it.
Amen. And so, Sister Amina and I, in our audio today, we're talking about some points, and I said, and we'll talk about the next preach in a minute, what some church, vile church, the so-called church is doing. But people have reinvented God in their own image, and they've lowered God. So people are saying, what's wrong with music? We like rock music. It's awesome and fun. What's wrong with that? They've created, and they're claiming to be Christians, they've created their own God. Yet Genesis 1 says, let us make man in our image. We're created in God's image. But what have everybody done in the culture? What have they done? They've created God in our image, and they expect God to accept rock music, accept pagan holidays, accept worldliness, accept pride and vanity. Is that not true, brother?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and that kind of reminds me of a point. Romans 8:29 says we're being conformed to the image of his son. So if you have the Holy Spirit, because he was the firstborn among many brethren, you're being conformed into the image of the truth, Jesus Christ. But if you have a false Christ or a false God, the scriptures also say you're being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're being conformed into that false Christ, that false God that just allows rap music or rock music in his worship. You can do whatever you want. You can sin all you want. You're being conformed into that image, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. And so on the skillet theme, this isn't about skillet, but he was there, John Cooper was there, total worldly, carnal, corrupt band that just throws a little bit of Jesus in there and making millions off of so-called things of God. A bunch of the skillet fans would tell me, hey, it's a Christian band, we're fine here. And when I would start preaching a biblical gospel to them, literally, they would flip me off with their finger and they would start yelling, F you. And they're Christians, so-called, that follow skillet. That's the type of Christian skillet attracts. You can be vile mouth, you can use vulgar gestures, you can drink and cuss and show up and be rowdy and jump around and smash act like you're in a mosh pit and all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of Christians they create. So that's kind of environment it was. But let's talk about, so that was kind of the negative thing, terrible to see that. Let's talk about a few of the positives. So I'm witnessing two young men come up to me, maybe like in their early teens or early 20s, and they said, man, can we shake your hand? And I said, why? They said, we love your preaching. And I said, you love my preaching? Why? And I started witnessing to them, and they said, don't let people stop you. What you're saying is right. What you're saying is true. And I started witnessing to them. They go to some worldly evangelical church, but they said, yeah, this isn't right. And I said, would your pastor approve of this? And they said, probably not. And I said, why are you here? I said, call him. No, we don't have his number. I said, you don't have his number. You should know your pastor's number. He should know your number. You should be closely connected to your elder, your pastor. And they said, no, we probably shouldn't be here. And you walked up about that time, and they were your age younger, or they're in their early 20s, and I handed them off to you. And I think the witnessing went really well with them, didn't it, brother?
Yeah, I encouraged them to seek the kingdom of God, and I encouraged them because they're young. It's easier, I'm not going to say it's easy because it's not, it's easier to lose your life when you're not entangled in the world, and they have to consider before they get entangled in Satan's web, college, getting married, buying a house, getting a job, a career, all of that, they get entangled in Satan's world. I implored them to consider losing their life for Christ before they get entangled in all that. And amen. I did have to rebuke him at the end a little bit because he said, no, we're on your side, brother. And I'm like, well, I would test that because my brothers come out of the world, they lose their life, they follow after Christ with all that they are. I wouldn't say you're my brother until you lose your life and you're born again by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Good job, brother. If they're our brother, they'll show up with the fruit, and they would follow up and say, you know what? We went in there. We saw how carnal it was. We got convicted. We're not doing that no more. Hey, we want to reach out or Bible study, or will you encourage us, or we're following your websites. We definitely want to do better. Hey, that's the fruit of our brother, not somebody that goes to evangelical church and goes to worldly concerts. But praise God, we spoke a bunch of truth in them. They told me, they said, don't stop preaching, preacher. So sometimes people will not stop doing what they're doing, but they'll see what we're doing is right because they know it's of God, so that will convict them. And then there was another man, a younger man, maybe in his mid-20s, very tall young man, walked up to me, and he had been drinking, but he was not inebriated, so we talked to him. I used to be a drunk, so I know about where people are when they're drinking. I used to be that way. And he's a Roman Catholic. But he said, you know what? A lot of the stuff you're saying is true. The world is lost. The churches are lying. And then you also walked up, and I basically, you know, you started talking to him too. And he told you some pretty amazing things, didn't he, brother? What did he tell you? He was in the military, and he kind of confessed something, didn't he?
Yeah, he was in the military, and he did kill people in the military, and he felt very convicted about that. He told me many things, but one of the things that kind of made me really feel for him was he felt like he was on the edge of, like, not being able to be forgiven, like, yeah, he was going to be cut off kind of a thing. And yeah, I said, I implored him, I'm like, sir, the Lord's kept you alive by his mercy, by his grace. You still have time to repent, and I encourage you to lose your life. You can be forgiven of murder and all of the wicked things. I've done many wicked things in my lost life, but you can be forgiven for that and walk in a new life, be born again, made a new creature. So I got to encourage him in that.
Yeah,
and
that's
he shook
awesome,
my
brother.
Hand at the end, and he said, thank you very much for what you're doing. Don't listen to anyone else out here. So he was very thankful for it.
Yeah, that was awesome. I was asking the Lord right before, one of the security guards, I need to tell this story real quick to give a praise. So I walked up before it started, and I walked on the sidewalk, and one of their security guards was standing there, and he like almost blocked the sidewalk, and I walked around him, and he said, can I help you? And I said, I'm just walking on a public sidewalk. They saw all the signs on our gospel van. He goes, yeah, I guess you are. And I walked back, and they were all standing there, and I said, can I interest any of you in the path to eternal life? We're going to be preaching here. And this security guard looked at me really wickedly, and he said, no, I'm going to hell, and I'm happy about it. And I walked back to you, and I said, brother, pray up. Get ready. I said, it don't look like we're going to have security guards on our side. These guys look like they might be wicked at this heavy metal concert. Well, you know what, brother? Praise God. That security guard went inside the park, was never again outside the park, and there was two or three security guards that were outside the park that were very nice. They didn't stop us. They didn't even engage us. Several times I had several drunks on me that were hassling me. I didn't need them to do it. I can handle the drunks. But the security guard came over and put his hand on the drunk and said, you need to move on. Just walk away. Leave him alone. And so they were very, very good. And the police showed up parked right next to, right behind my gospel van. I love this. Everybody thought I was going to get arrested, and I waved to the cop and said, thank you for your service. He waved at me. And so God, I prayed to God. I said, God, open a door. Make it this possible, Father. Make this work. And he did. And so I said, make our time and your resources valuable here, Lord. And you got to witness to those two young men. You got to witness to that other young man. Sister Amma got to witness long to a lady. And then there was another man. I wanted to talk about this one. At near the end of the concert, very tall man, hoodie on, tattoos, piercings, and you were talking to him, and I was preaching about John Cooper, calling out Skillet, and this guy just stood there looking, and he had very, like, deep, serious, I guess I would just call it, like, longing eyes. He was just, like, looking at me, not mocking, not angry, and you talked to him, gave him a gospel card. He started walking away, and I said, sir, I said, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, yeah. I said, you're going to go in there. I said, you're going to hear this so-called Skillet band give a false gospel that says Jesus died, you can accept him, and you can just be forgiven just like you are, and you could live like the world. I said, don't believe him, sir. I said, the Bible says you must repent, lose your life, you can be cleansed from all your sin, but you must come after and follow Christ. Our websites, my brother and I website, we teach that, we preach it. Contact us, we love to help you. And he looked at me with these like really longing, deep eyes, and he said, thank you for what you do. Thank you for telling me that. And he turned around and he did go in. But I'm hoping and praying that he was convicted, that he heard that lukewarm, weak gospel, and he goes home and reads his Bible and goes, wait a minute, Jesus said lose your life. You can't just raise your hand at a concert and find eternal life. Amen, brother?
Yeah, that was interesting because I was talking to him a little bit, and I said, well, hey, do you know the gospel while you were kind of preaching and whatnot? And he was so focused on your preaching, I just kind of let him listen to your preaching, and I was like standing there with him, like watching. Yeah, he was a very, when I was talking to him, he was a very, like, it almost seemed like sober.
Yeah,
kind of like
intense.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah,
and so yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was right at the end. And then again, Sister Amman talked to a bunch of people, and then I even got to witness, and Sister Amman and I talked about this in our daily audio the other day, that I find this amazing, brother, that we will witness to anyone, meaning unless someone's totally drunk and inebriated, there's no point. There was a couple of people there like that. One man was grabbing my sign and stuff, and he was just almost couldn't stand up. No point in witnessing to him. But we'll witness to people that have been drinking will witness, I witnessed to a Satanist there, a guy in line that had said he's a Satanist, got a satanic tattoos on, and I just implored him. I said, sir, you're on the losing side, that you could still be cleansed, that Christ can cleanse you if you're willing to repent, if he hasn't turned you over. We witnessed a Satanist, we witnessed to homosexuals, we witnessed to teenagers, middle-aged people, middle-class people. I witnessed to a doctor the other day who's probably a millionaire. We witnessed to lawyers, truck drivers, policemen, firemen. We will witness to anybody that is not a total mocker. Amen, brother?
Yeah.
But
whosoever will come, let him come.
But how many people have you seen, brother, that are religious, that take one look at you and me or Sister Amen or one, any of the other saints and go, they look like a cult or something, and they'll ice you, they'll walk away from you, they won't even listen to you, they won't even talk to you. How many times have you heard, I know the gospel, and you say, sir, would you share it with me? I don't have to. They turn around and they walk away. So it's the difference between those that have a heart for God. Jesus said, go in Matthew 28, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to obey. That's our heart's desire. Preach the gospel, find a disciple, God calls them and makes them a saint. We disciple him and teach him the truth. And that's our heart's desire. Everyone else is out in the world entertaining themselves. And Jesus is like an amulet, a good luck charm. We had a lot of people showing us their tattoos with Jesus and scriptures on them. And we're telling them that's not going to save you. You know, put a bumper sticker on your car. It's not going to save you on judgment day. You must lose your life. So it was awesome that this wave and wave and wave. Go check out the videos of people that we got to stand right next to, preach, and I always say it's like a finger in Satan's eye, because it's Satan's territory, it's his kingdom, it's his world right now, and we get to stand there and stick our finger in his eye and go, not today, Satan, we're going to preach for the Father's glory, and God's glorified, lots of people heard, and I don't know if you saw people doing this, I saw lots of people, yeah, walk by mocking, flipping me off, using the F word, telling me, go home, get away, but I saw a lot of people standing there just looking. And I saw a lot of people, I think, I'm a pretty good judge of people, about ready to start shaking their heads like up and down, like, yeah, yeah, the world's headed for wrath. Yeah, I claim to be a Christian, but I'm a big hypocrite. Yeah, preacher, you're right, I'm living in sin. I saw a whole bunch of people like that. Did you see anybody like that, brother?
Yeah, I did, especially people did that, especially when someone would pipe up in the line and say something like mockingly toward you. And I love how the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit always brings something to mind to like rebuke it or rebuttal it or and whatnot and just put it to silence. And you give that response and that person is put to silence and everyone around him like just watched what took place and they're like, okay. And then they just like listen to the preaching and they're like, yeah, that sounds correct. I did notice a lot of people nodding.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. A good example of that was some guy, a worldly-looking biker guy, walked by and he goes, the Bible's full of nothing but contradictions. And I had an audio going, and I was preaching in front of hundreds of people standing there. And I turned the audio off. I said, oh, I got to get this on video. And I walked over to him with the video playing. You can look it up on the Altar Rocks Copeland Park Street Preach at don'tperish.com. And I held a video camera and I said, sir, you said the Bible's full of contradictions. Yeah, it is, cover to cover. And I said, sir, name one. And he goes, what? I said, name one. Wow. And it's just like everybody's looking at him. And he said, oh, read it, cover to cover. There's contradictions. I said, name one, sir. Name one for us right now, will you? And he just stand there with a stupid look on his face. And he had about 10 seconds. And I turned around and I said, there you go. I said, I hear it all the time, contradictions. I said, he doesn't know what he's talking about. God's word is true. God's word is pure. God's word is eternal. And everybody was just sitting there looking at me. And it was like I called him out on his so-called contradiction. And yeah, when you bring out the sword and you call them out in the truth and you vanquish that darkness and just shine the light, it's a glorious thing, is it not, brother?
Yeah, it's almost like they're witnessing the light pierce the darkness. I know when I was a lost man, I've never seen any street preachers out preaching at anything, but especially at a concert in La Crosse, Wisconsin, I'm sure they've never seen anything like it before, and yeah, they're just kind of like baffled at like our responses to things as well as the truth that we're giving them, a bunch of scripture, a bunch of like our testimony and everything, and they're probably like, who are these people?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And that's why Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that is important that we have that word of God and we are ready to use it. That word quick, zoe, it means live, active, among the living. It means a manner of living and active. It talks about character, like living water. And so that word that we have is so powerful. And if we know it, and we know what we know, because we've studied, we don't need a lot of time to sit there and go, well, I'll get back to you on that. We can say, no, God's word says this. Like when Jesus was refuting people, he didn't need a lot of time in between to go, I got to go think about that. He said, no, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. When you know the truth, kind of like if somebody says, hey, you know, where were you born? You know the truth. Does it take you long to name the town you're born? You don't have to go, well, let me go think about that. Boom. Hey, are you married? Well, let me think about that. So when you know the truth, that's why it's so important that we study to be approved, that we're in the word, that we know the truth, because then we can be active and quick and use the word of God. That necessarily, that word quick doesn't necessarily mean speed quick, but it is good to have an answer in these street situations because it does shut down mockers. And then it does also, when you have an answer, it affords the opportunity to give an answer that the Holy Spirit can then use to convict people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, some of my favorite verses, Luke 21, 14, and I'll read all the way to 19. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls.
I love that. I love that.
That mouth and wisdom that your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, that always comes to mind when I'm out there. I'm like, Lord, give me a mouth of wisdom that people can't resist, that people can't like gainsay. And the Lord, by his spirit, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He'll give us the words to say when we need to say them. Yeah. And he'll keep us silent when we need to be silent. So.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome scripture. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. So we were salt. We were light, all to God's glory. Sister Amen out there. Here's this head covered woman out there standing against this heavy metal rock, event. And all these people walking by, and she's sharing the gospel and handing out gospel cards and pointing the people to you and me, the men, saying, go talk to my brother, go talk to my husband. And it's just a testament of what God's done. And that's a great point you made. I guess my last point about this preach is I kept saying it over and over. People all lined up. We're not better than you. We're not here flying ourselves above you. The Bible says in the Sermon on the Mount, be humble, be meek, be lowly. John the Baptist in John 3:30 said, Christ must increase, we decrease. We're not better than you, but I kept pounding on, we're different, we're changed. I used to be in the front of this line. I used to be drinking, partying, rock music, and fighting. Why am I different? And they don't have an answer for that. I'm not making money doing this. We're hated doing this. We're not popular. We support ourselves doing this. Why are we here? And I love this. This got a great look on a lot of people's faces. I preached this about six times. People are all lined up. They could see my van right there. People are lined up. And I said, listen, I need to ask my neighbors. I love you. Why do you think I'm here? We're not selling nothing. We don't make merchandise off you like Skillet does. He's a multimillionaire. I said, I have enough money. I can go hunting and fishing the rest of my life. I don't need to be here. I'm retired. Retired early. Why am I here, neighbor? They're just kind of looking at me. They got no answer. I'm like, I'm here to glorify God and love you and tell you the truth because his wrath is coming. And I didn't have anybody mock me. The only guy that mocked me, brother, one guy said, I wish you'd go hunt and fish it already. But yeah, a testament of God at work in people's lives like your life and Sister Amon's life and my life and how God calls us, changes us, transforms us, gives us the courage to stand out against that, the boldness, the resistance. I did have quite a few people telling me, go away, get out of here, we don't want you here. And I would tell them always my canned answer, the only way I'm going to go from here is you're going to have to kill me. And they just looked at me and I'm like, the Lord told me to preach. I'm not going to stop preaching until I'm dead. And I'm not breaking any laws. So you can't, that's the only way you can stop me. And when you tell somebody that, unless they pull out a gun and want to kill you that day, someday that may happen, they just sit there and they go, well, we're not going to stop them. Just ignore them or forget about them. But if they could bully you enough to stop you, that pretty much would mean your message isn't very powerful, is it, brother?
No, it's not. And I remember you told me, one man said, I paid good money to be here. What was your response to that?
My response to that was, Christ died on the stake. You might know it as the cross. He shed his blood. He was beaten, battered, bloody, bruised. He paid the ultimate price for salvation. And that's what I'm here preaching. And that's more valuable than your ticket. He just looked down and shook his head.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah,
yeah, God's word and God's truth cannot be denied and cannot be beaten. So that was that preach, and I thought we'd just spring right on, unless you had something else. You had anything else on that preach, brother, that altar rock preach?
No, we covered it pretty well.
And then Sunday, we each got our posts up for that night. We worked hard, got that done. Sunday, where did we go, brother?
We went to evangelical church called, yeah, Bethany Church.
Yeah, Evangelical Free Church called Bethany Church. And what was the theme there, brother? I'll give you a hint. It was worldliness and
Water skiing.
And why did we say that, brother?
They have a water ski team or a water skiing club at their church. It's like a youth ministry. It draws in the youth.
So they...
So
these people encourage their teenagers to put on underwear-like garments and flop around in the water and fly around on water skis for ministry.
And don't forget the $370 application fee to get into the ministry.
Of course, you want to do ministry, you got to pay $370. Somebody's got to pay for the boat, the gas, and all that. And so we went to this church, if you can call it that. It's a goat farm. We stood out perfect. Another perfect preach. We had a trailhead parking right across the street, and we had a beautiful big sidewalk right in front of the church. And, of course, they called the police on us. 80% of the time we're tracking. I watch it. 80% of the time at churches they call the police on us, brother. Did you know that? 80%.
Wow.
And that's, yeah, always from that's a something. Public sidewalk.
Yeah, and the police were really, really good this time. They didn't even make contact. They pulled in. And passed, they even... Oh.
Yeah, the police waved to us, and then they just left. And then the pastor actually came out. How did that go, brother?
The pastor came out, went straight to me. I'm not sure why he came straight to the young man and not to the elder, but he came straight to me. He tried to talk to me and a few of his, I don't know if they were elders, were with him and whatnot. I'm like, sir, go talk to my elder brother. My elder brother will say, James 4:4, you're an enemy of God because you're a friend of the world. You haven't repented and come out of the world. You're teaching a false gospel. Go talk to my elder brother over there. He'd love to talk to you, give you some truth. So he ended up going over to you. And what happened over there?
Yeah, he walked over to me, and I was preaching, and they started to interrupt me, and I said, hey, I didn't interrupt your preaching. Please don't interrupt mine. If you want to hang around when I'm done preaching, I'll be happy to talk to you, and I'll tell you more. But I said, right now I'm going to preach. Well, that wasn't good enough. They're rude. They're not patient. They pressed in, and I turned, and I basically rebuked him and said, sir, you're not running a church here. This is a goat farm. You can't justify your worldliness. Your gospel doesn't call you out of the world. You're keeping pagan holidays. You're feminized. You've corrupted the truth of God. You're deceiving young people. And as I began to rain the truth of God's word upon him without letting him speak and give an answer for his sinful ways, he just turned around and walked away and left and said, oh, whatever. And he just turned around and walked away. And I said, you walk away. I said, but you'll be up on the internet. We're going to expose you. A couple of his men came out. One of the older men, I think was an elder there, actually said the reason they have a water ski team. You know why, brother? Did I tell you this? I don't know if you watched the video by now. The reason they have the water ski team is because it attracts the youth and it holds the youth. And if you don't hold youth, your church isn't going to survive in the long run. Do you believe that? All right, so you were cutting out there, so hopefully we got better reception. Yeah, so he told me that the youth have to be engaged, otherwise there's no future for the church, so they've lowered the bar and offer carnal entertainment for the youth. What do you think of that, brother?
Well, yeah, it's leading the youth into carnality and flesh. The carnal mind's at enmity with God. We know that in the scriptures. And if that's what you're using to draw in and keep the youth, like we always say, the churches are going to get worse and worse as the culture gets worse and worse because they have to accommodate for the flesh that's getting worse and worse. They're not led by the Spirit of God. Leading them out of the snares of death, they're falling right into them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great point. And Sister Emma and I talked about today, again, I mentioned it again, in the street witnessing we did. We were out holding gospel signs in the street today. So were you, another part opposite of the town. And I was talking about how God men create God in their image, and these people think, well, God's going to accept whatever we offer him. And it's like, no, he's God. He's God. And we offer what he asks us to offer and what he ordains and what he wants. That's why he's God and we're not. And they all lower the bar. They're letting the young people in. So they have water ski ministry. They have worldliness. They have feminization. Did you have some women come and try to talk to you and rebuke you there, brother?
Oh, yeah. A whole group of women walked up to me, older women, they should know better in the faith, and they walked up to me and they began to talk to me and say, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And I said, well, James 4:4, friend of the world makes you an enemy of God, and we're here telling folks to repent and whatnot, and I want you to go, well, I can't teach over the wife of a husband, so I'm just going to kind of cut it off here. If you're interested in truth, I offered them a gospel card. They gave it right back to me, so they didn't want the truth.
There you
but
go.
I basically had to cut it off because they started to teach me, we've repented, we've come out of the world, and you don't know this church and all of that, and I just had to cut it off. I had to turn away. I had to say, I'm done with this conversation. If you're interested in truth, you know, have your husbands reach out, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's an argument we need to bring up. So we heard that a couple times. Have you ever listened and been here to our sermons? No. Well, then you can't know us. You can't be serious. You mean I can't judge from online sermons and from your own fruit and from your website? I can't make a judgment? I mean, how many places have you heard about that are unbiblical and you look them up and you make a judgment? You go, you've never been there. I mean, we've all heard about criminals and like Adolf Hitler, and we heard about stories of people and you see the facts. Do you actually have to be there, brother, to know the truth, or can you take the facts and discern it rightly?
You can take the facts and discern it rightly. It's kind of like looking at the facts of an apple tree. You can discern it without actually being in front of an apple tree that it's an apple tree.
Yeah, you don't even have to eat of it. You can see, hey, that's an apple tree. I can see that. So we get that a lot. Right. And we're like, no. We know. We listen to your a couple teachings. We know what you preach as a gospel, and we can look at your fruit. One old man, I call him an old man because I'm an old man, so I always like to say that to people. He said, you're an old man like me. I said, how do you justify your young women and your men running around showing their bodies off? And he looked right at me, and there was a woman, and I said, in makeup and jewelry? He said, that's not biblical. And I said, look it, sir, turn around, it's going on right here. He's like, it's not biblical. He was convicted, old man like me. And it's amazing what they allow that they know is sinful, but because, you know, you start preaching the truth, brother, you think you're going to get 10% growth a year and grow the water ski team, you're going to clear that building out, and they're all going to go down to the Easy Believe Street, right down church right down the street, right?
Oh, yeah, it's just a big flesh business, and like I said, it's only going to get worse with the culture, and you can see they had helicopter Easter egg drops on Easter, and they're doing all this crazy and outlandish things like ski ministries and all of this, and it's only going to get worse and worse as time goes on.
Yeah, and again, look up our testing of Bethany Church La Crosse. You could see it. We go through the whole thing, the gospel, their pagan holidays, feminization, selling the things of God, water ski ministries, all of that. So it was a typical evangelical church that called the police on us. The pastor did come out, but before we go on, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of our street witnessing that's gone on lately real quick, what did the pastor come back out and do, brother?
He brought us out water, and I don't know, we got to get a stat on that one, too, how many times the leaders of the church bring us out water, but he brought us out water, but thankfully he listened when we said we weren't going to take it, we were just going to kick it back onto their property or put it back in the grass, we didn't want it. He just turned around, left, but he said a few things walking back. What did he say walking back?
Yeah, he said, you can kind of see it on the video. He said something about, okay, God witnessed this. God was a witness. I said, oh, yeah, God's a witness. And I said, you're a goat farmer, sir. You're deceiving people. You're in lies and false ways. And by the way, I told you before we got on this audio, I've sent that testing to him and nine of his men, including their elders. I have yet to hear one of them respond back of anything we said that's unbiblical, refute us in any way. They're going to do what 99.99% of them do, go and hide in the dark and not give an answer, because you cannot give an answer against God's word. They don't have any answers that make any sense. You can't justify water ski ministries. You can't justify being of the world. You can't justify your feminization and your harlotry. All they can do is slink away into the John 3:19-21. But, Sister Amon talked to people, a couple of young men she gave gospel cards to, a couple of women. We go there for the seekers and the sheep. That goat farm is going to go on. We don't have any business trying to take it down. We go there looking for the sheep. Amen, brother?
Yeah, amen. We go there for the people that are like, well, I thought Bethany Church was closer to the truth, but am I still in error? Like, is there something I need to correct? Do I need to come out of it? Like, the people that have a heart for God that are like, you know, I saw some things that don't seem right, and this kind of confirmed it. Those are the people we're going for.
Amen, amen. So, yeah, so that was a glorious, good preach, and a lot of witnessing went out. A lot of people saw our signs, and the testing went up, so that testing will be up there. Anybody searching that church, hey, is this a good church? Is anybody set ready? How many people do this, brother? Well, we're looking for a church. Hey, does anybody say anything about this church? If they do that, and they just test that much, has anybody said anything about this church? And they search the internet. Guess who's going to pop up, brother?
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Because that wicked, prideful pastor, you could see him on video. He said, oh, you're going to expose me on the internet? Like, making fun. I don't think he realizes who we are and what we do. I know my handmade signs don't look like much. I know I don't look like much. But I'm pretty sure when they go on the website, they go, oh, they put all this stuff out there, and it's going to be out there now. They realize that we actually have a website, that God moves it all over, that when people search Bethany Church La Crosse Exposed, it's going to come right up. So that's why we do it, not to be mean-spirited, but to call them out. Otherwise, the wrath of God's coming for them. We want them to repent and to find true eternal life, not false eternal life in a goat farm and a carnal flesh fest.
Amen. That's loving our neighbor.
Yeah, amen. So let's switch gears real quick. So we got to go out and street preach. So just share some of your thoughts or a favorite thing that happened or something you learned from some of your street preaching lately.
So some of my street preaching lately, definitely, I guess the big thing I'm learning, I'll share this, is recording my interactions with people more and just getting that documented and on video. It's good for safety, too. And just sharing that, it can be edifying to the body of Christ, as well as to other younger brothers or younger sisters that are looking for another younger saint out there that's striving for the truth, and to show them the kind of things I encounter in the world and how I counter it and how the Holy Spirit leads me in conversations and whatnot. So I've been working on that, and I'm going to be doing better at that, Lord willing. And another thing, I guess, that kind of stuck out to me today was a family member came up to me.
I'm glad you brought this up. Tell us about that, brother.
Yeah, a family member came up to me in the streets that I knew a while back. Actually, the wife and the husband came up to me, and they were really over the top, enthusiastically in the flesh, and I could tell. And
hey, brother, can I ask you a question? Did they drive by, see you, recognize you, stop, or were they just walking down the sidewalk?
No, they were walking their idolatrous pets. So, yeah, they walked by me, and they said, "Hi, Colin, we haven't seen you in such a long time."
Colin, I don't even know who Colin is. Who's Colin? I don't even know who that is. Like,
right. And I was like, okay. I told him right away, I'm not going to have any partiality in this, because I started off, I said, "You're going to need to repent and follow the biblical gospel." And they're like, "Do you even recognize us?" They had to ask me because I was so impartial. And I was like, "I do, but the scriptures tell me to be impartial, and you are claiming Christ. You're going to have to repent and come out of your church and follow after him, lose your life like I had to."
Amen.
And they're like, "Well, can we invite you to dinner and all of that fleshly stuff?" And I'm like, "If you were my brother and sister, repent, lose your life, and follow after the Lord, then I can associate with you. But right now, no, I can't until you come out of the world."
These would be practicing Lutherans?
I'm going to guess they're still Lutheran. Yeah, they might even go to that Onalaska Lutheran church you have on don'tperish.com. We stood out there once.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, but it went well. I rebuked them. They said, "Oh, we still have your verse from your confirmation in the Lutheran church. We still have your verse." And I'm like, "The Lutheran church is false. You got to come out of that." And she ended it with like, "Well, it's still a verse." And I just turned away from them, and they got a good rebuke. So hopefully I told them, "Do you love Christ more than me?" And they're like, Oh yeah. We love Christ. I really question that by their fruit. Yeah. And I hope they repent. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you stood strong. That's great. You weren't partial. You didn't, you know, you weren't nicer to them than anybody else because they're maybe blood relatives. And they got what they needed. And that was a loving, stern rebuke to tell, "You're not my brother and sister. If you're into that worldly faith and you have to repent." I witnessed to a Lutheran pastor, 50-year pastor. He's retired now. He's like 78 years old. And I told him basically the same thing. I was impartial, and I said, "You can't be born a Christian. You know, I said, you got to be born of God by the Spirit of God." And he sat and listened. And so it's loving to be impartial and tell these people what they need, because if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them the truth? If we don't tell them this truth, they're going to die and perish.
Yeah, amen. And one of the most loving things you can do when it comes to family, if they claim Christ, is mark and avoid them. And tell them to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And hopefully that does Hebrews 4:12 sword kind of smite them in their heart and say, "Wow, I lost my son, daughter, whatever it might be. Why am I losing them?" "Oh, because I don't want to follow Christ."
Yeah.
"Because I don't want to lose my life." Yeah. That could be one of the most loving things you do.
Amen, amen. And that's powerful, because then they're like, "He doesn't want nothing to do with us because he says we practice false religion." Well, then go test it. Go test your false religion. See if it really is false. And that's the loving thing that we do. Because if we lower the bar and we go, "Well, let's all just get along," we're not helping them to the eternal life and truth, are we, brother?
No, then we just turn into water ski church.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, today Sister Amman walked down to a store, and I drove down. I felt led to put our gospel signs on the van. I was going to work on the van. I normally don't put gospel signs on. And I met a man, talked to him for an hour. He lives right in this town where you and I are. And he kind of has Calvinist mindset, but he was very respectful. He listened, said he's got to go study more. And it was perfect timing that I met him. He got so much truth. And it's another one of those witnessing episodes. It'll be up on our next witnessing blast. Witnessing post. Another respectful, loving, little bit of disputing, but ended good, ended peaceful, ended with test that all out. And, you know, it goes to show that if people don't trample God's word and defend sin and they aren't disrespectful to God, you can contend for the faith and kind of have peace and just move on from there. Not unity, but have peace. But when people trample the blood of Christ and trample God's word and defend sin, they get a stern rebuke. So this was another awesome, awesome witnessing, as well as that pastor I witnessed to today in the park for about 15 minutes that he called to us, and we walked up to him. Very respectful. He listened. He didn't have any answer. 50 years, brother, he's a pastor in God's word. He didn't have any answer to the biblical gospel, Christmas, Easter, feminization, allowing homosexual pastors and lady pastors. He had no answers from God's word. 50 years. What was he doing for 50 years? Probably making sure the coffee was good.
Well, I mean, being someone who's been in the Lutheran faith and grew up in the Lutheran schools and all of that, I can tell you they are void of the Holy Spirit, and they hardly teach you very many verses, because a lot of the verses in the Bible actually refute Lutheranism.
Yeah.
So they don't teach you a whole lot of verses, so it's basically just, yeah, I can understand him not knowing very much, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah, you being the next Lutheran, you know all that. Yeah. So, yeah, today we went out and flew gospel signs, and Sister Amin got to witness to some people, young people. We had a group of 20 young teenagers come by. I witnessed to them. Then they came back. Sister Amin witnessed to them while they were waiting for the light. Got to talk to a couple of young men that listened. And, yeah, it was awesome. Just standing out, shining Christ's light, pointing the way, people get to see the sign, and it's what we're called to do, isn't it, brother? You stood out today, too. Tell us about the man. What was this about? The guy that came down the sidewalk and turned around and went right back. What was that about?
So this man, I don't know where he came from, but I saw him walking all the way down this long sidewalk, basically all the way down downtown Onalaska. All the way down this sidewalk, he walked right up to me. I don't know where he was going, but he just walked right up to me. I said, "Hey, how's it going today, sir?" You can hear the audio. And he's like, "Good, good." And I'm like, "Would you like some good news?" He took the gospel card right away, and I got to pour the whole gospel into him. I went through the whole gospel. And at the end of it, he's like, "Okay, well, my time's up here. I got to get going." He turns around, and he just walks all the way back down the Onalaska sidewalk. I don't know where he came from, but he walked all the way down the sidewalk. He got truth, and he walked back. Yeah,
that's awesome. And you were used of God, because you're just standing out there being a faithful worker, glorifying God. It doesn't matter if nobody wants to come and talk to you. It doesn't matter if everybody hates it. It doesn't matter if everybody throws tomatoes at us. We're out there for God's glory, being salt and being light. But we know we always... I can't even think of a time we've gone out and never have positively touched somebody. It's like every time God says, "Here's one that you've influenced in a good way." It's always somebody out there when we go out and do God's work. And I'm always thankful for that, because we're spending his resources. We're spending the time he gives us, and we want it to be fruitful. And we know it never goes out void, and it's to his glory. And he always rewards us by sending us some people, doesn't he, brother?
Yeah, and I talked about that in one of my videos today. It came to mind when I was out in the street. Even if just one person, and I find it awesome, I think it's in Luke 15, verse 7, the Lord says, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents.
Yeah.
One sinner, one person, if they repent and turn and lose their life and follow after Christ, there's joy in all of heaven.
Yeah.
I find that really cool, because like you're standing out there, you may see hundreds of cars drive by. You may see people walk by, whatever it might be. If one person hears it and loses their life, it's all worth it.
So. Yeah, we can look around at each other. We can look and we can say, Sister Amin was the one. I was the one. You were the one. Other saints that hear and answer are the one. So when you put that one and you put a name and a face to it, it's kind of like, wow, that building burned down. 500 people burned to death. And there's one guy standing there and they go, "But I got saved from it." And you go, "Wow, you came out. That's awesome." That's a pretty powerful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's the witness. That's the testimony. And all God's glory, definitely.
Yeah. And come to think of this, I guess we'll wrap it up right here. I was just thinking of this years and years and years ago when I was a pagan. I remember a news story. An airplane crashed. And there was like 350 people on it. And it crashed somewhere. It was another country, I think. And the rescuers got there, and it was debris everywhere. And they just assumed everyone's dead. 300-some people, all dead. Burned up, ripped to pieces, dead. And they flipped over one of the seats, and there was a 2-year-old baby, alive and unharmed. Guess what, brother? Everybody rejoiced! There's hundreds of dead people and pieces of bodies laying all over, but everybody's rejoicing because they found a 2-year-old alive. Isn't that kind of just like that?
Yeah, it is kind of, I mean, the masses and masses and masses of people on the broad road to destruction And the Lord's will is that none perish. And when someone bends their will and repents and says, Lord, you are Lord, and I thank you for your sacrifice, I want to follow after you and serve you with my whole life, I can only imagine the joy in heaven over
that. Amen. Amen. Because Christ shed his blood. He purchased us. There's value, amazing value there. God sent himself to redeem us. So yeah, can never, ever, ever look short of that. And that's the one thing you got to ask yourself when you go laboring. Ask yourself, will I labor my whole life for two things? One, for God's glory if no one ever comes. And also, would I labor my whole life to pull one person from the pits of hell and the lake of fire because of God using me and because of some of my efforts? And if you look at it that way, it really levels it out and goes, you know what, this is for God's glory. Maybe one person, I'll do it for the one. Somebody did it for me, I'll do it for the one. And it really kind of levels it out versus trying to put 1,000 in a building, and to do it, you need water ski ministry and throwing pies in the pastor's face and having Super Bowl parties. It really levels down the value of an eternal soul, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And yeah, the value of one soul. Yeah, it's an awesome thing. And yeah, I think you put it really well there.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're going to leave right there, brother. Thanks. I like to do these ministry updates from time to time. Hopefully people listening were edified. It's kind of like just you and I chewing the gospel fat, as they say, chewing the fat about what goes on in the street, what goes on at the preaches. And it's kind of like our own little kind of podcast that'll go on both of our websites to edify others. Thanks for your time, brother.
Yeah, thank you.